Log Talk Radio.
Already yours. You have to claim what belongs to you. If God given it to you, don't allow Satan to take it from you. He would just love to steal your praise, because that's what he does. He steal, kill, and destroy. You have to know who's operating in the atmosphere. Hey, that's another story for another day. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're definitely happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to ask Pastor Dale if she'll give us a word of prayer and get us going.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. And Pastor, thank you for that song. Amen. We got it, and it's already ours. Amen. And I like the part of the song where it said, can't nobody do me like you, Jesus. Amen.
Right.
Thank God. To God be the glory. Amen. The scripture I like to share. Amen. The scripture I like to share is coming from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, thanking you for another day. Father God, we're thanking you for our pastor as he so diligently teaches the word of God. We're thanking you for the listeners, Father God, and those that are listening by internet and those that participate, Father God. We give you praise today, Father God. We bind up anything and everything that's not like you right now in the name of Jesus, pleading the blood of Jesus on each and every one of us, and especially on our pastor. Continue to keep him, guide him, and watch over him, Father God, and just crown his head with wisdom and knowledge and understanding from on high, that he's able to share this word and teach this word according to your will. Bless each and every one who's asked us to keep them lifted up in prayer, all those who are sick and shut in, those who are bereaved, those who are going through, because we know you're working things out for their good. Lord, we give you praise. Now open up our hearts and our mind to the word of God today, that we may receive it, Father God, and that we will keep it in the lining of our heart. Have your way, Lord. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that prayer. And we just set ourselves in agreement with that. We're talking about Christ is better than all the angels.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
We made our case. It's none like Christ, brothers and sisters. I just have to go and throw that out there. See, when you know that he is truly the head of the church,
mm-hmm.
but the devil always have had to try to imitate Christ and get people to think something that is not. That's how he does. He deceives people. Like when it comes to the church, when you see the church, he wants you to see it in the flesh. Ask the Lord why. He said, because when I allowed them to kick him out of heaven, that he went to the ground. See, God had prophesied over there in Genesis that he was going to go to, that Satan had to go to the ground. I think it was, and we'll read that. Because he was Lucifer and in heaven. But after he left heaven, he was no longer had that name. He lost that. People, this is important. I'm telling you. He lost his name. He lost everything. And he did it on his own. So he lost that. But he was yet still great. And I think when you really get into what Lucifer was about, Lucifer means day star or light bearer. So he lost that light that he once had when he was in heaven. So when really meant that he was beautiful, he was full of wisdom, when you think about, but he lost all of that.
Yeah, amen.
That. And he had been in the Eden, if you recall, in the Garden of God, and was told that thou art anointed cherubim that covet. And when you think about the ark of the covenant, and when the children of Israel had to be led, they kept that ark to remind them that God was watching over them. Satan was among the top angels, the cherubim angels. So that's who right now guarding the Garden of Eden, the cherubim angel. Well, Lucifer was one of those. He was like one of the top angels. So, and please, brothers and sisters, please understand, I am not trying to make Satan look good.
All right. Say that.
Because I want you to know immediately he come to steal, kill, and destroy. But you do need to know what you're up against. You're in a real war.
Yeah, amen.
See, sometimes, unless you are involved directly, sometimes you'll miss some things. Yeah, but he was a cherubim, and he was able to cover his glory, but he left all of that. And so God commanded that he be, all of his royal duties had been suspended.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit was showing me that. Everything he had going on, he lost it. And let me tell you what, brothers and sisters, anytime you turn from God, you're going to lose some stuff.
Amen.
Anytime you turn.
Mm.
But God did create Lucifer. But sin or pride, Lucifer became Satan. And just remember that sequence, because you won't see him operating on earth. You won't see him operating on earth as Lucifer, because he didn't have that power on earth. He became Satan. And so we talked about how he said he will ascend into the heavens, and he was going to be great. His throne was going to be above the stars of God. And that's how Satan catches us. That same spirit that he had goes into the children of disobedience. So you got to be real careful with your mouth. Proverbs says you're snared with the words of your mouth. So don't get caught by what you say, please. So Lucifer became Satan by choosing his own will above the will of God. Think about that, if you will. When he chose his own will, his own path, because now remember, God is so just, God is so fair. He allowed Lucifer when he was in heaven. That's another reason we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, because that one got corrupt with Lucifer, lied with him, cheating.
Say that.
So that's how he got. But anyway, look here. This way. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm not at my normal place. I'm here on the job site. But Lucifer became Satan by choosing. Choices make you who you are. You choose who you are. You can either choose the will of God, what he have laid out for you, or you can choose what Satan have laid out for you.
Mm.
So his fall was determined by what he did after. So, as we can see, and we'll go over there, when he became Satan, he became our adversary.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's important. He no longer Lucifer, because he was kicked to the ground, to the earth. So the writer asked him, says, you need to go outside. Pastor, take over for a second.
Okay, Pastor. Amen. Pastor was sharing with us about in Genesis how Satan was kicked to the earth. And so in Genesis 3 in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, excuse me, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. So right there, it lets us know that he had the will to, so to speak, trick Eve into that tasting that fruit. Amen. Which caused them to fall. The other scripture Pastor was talking about was over in Ezekiel, where it talks about how, well, it was in two places, actually. One of them was Ezekiel, the other was Isaiah. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And I'll be reading it from the King James as well. It says, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So reading those verses from the New Living Translation, it says, I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. I'm sorry, that was verse 14. Let me read 13. It says, for you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. Amen. So
amen.
See, he was full of pride. So that's what caused his fall. Amen.
Amen. See, that's the, thanks, Pastor, so much. That's the original sin, brothers and sisters, pride. So when Lucifer got kicked to the earth, that's what he had was pride. That's what he tempted Eve with, was pride,
yeah.
Telling them, hey, y'all going to be all of this and you're going to be all of that. If you really want to see somebody kind of lose it, let them just start bragging on them and they this and they that. You'll be surprised what pride will do. The Bible says pride goes before a fall. But what happens is most people can't take that kind of success. So Lucifer had brought his ideals and introduced them to Adam and Eve, which Adam already knew better. But God told him, said, you was perfect in that ways from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. Brothers and sisters, iniquity, and I always use this term, I don't know, the Lord gave me this one day, so I stick with it. Iniquity is homemade sin. It's you trying to make something look right, but it ain't really right. And you know, and God knows, and anybody walking with God knows, it ain't nothing but iniquity. It's something you put together. Like, you find a right way to do wrong, and there is no right way to do wrong. But that's how Satan will have people to believe. Because that's what's in him. And the same spirit is in him go over to the children of disobedient. I kind of wanted to show you that through the fact of the Sabbath. For instance, I'm going to show you. You really have to search the scripture. And y'all already know about the scriptures that reference to the Sabbath. God hollered it at creation. And long before there was the Jews of Israelite to keep it, remember in Genesis 2, 1 and 3, the Sabbath was to be kept forever or continually throughout your generation. That's where the people mindset was at. But here's what Satan said. After Jesus rose, and you can find this in Luke 4, 16. Maybe I'll have Pastor read that. In Luke 4:16, I'm just trying to show you some of the trickery stuff, how deceitful he is. The Bible says he deceived the whole world. That's include me, you, the whole world. And the only way you're going to get out of that thing is to get in Christ. And that way you're into a whole new arena, for a better way of saying it. You're in a whole new place, a whole different place, because you're in the world, but you're not of the world. So, but anyway, right. This is just to show you that he, God intended for us to remember, but Jesus became the Sabbath for those that are more advanced. It was a rest, and there was another rest in the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and that rest is in Christ. I don't want to get nobody confused, but so let me slow down and say this. The Sabbath was to be kept, pretty much. So over in Luke 4:16, you want to read that, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor. Reading from the King James. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Amen.
And that was a fulfillment. But you see, Satan got people thinking that, and people celebrate, they celebrate all that stuff, so I won't bore you all with that. I just not bore you guys with that, because they still miss it, that Sabbath, that he said that he was Lord over it. He was Lord over the days. So it was no longer a day, but the Sabbath became a person. It's something you honor and acknowledge. And that's what Jesus was explaining to Martha and them. When Martha talking about, you know, if you'd been here, my brother Lazarus, and that great day, and I know it's going to come, Jesus said, no, I'm that day. I'm that day. The right day, you have to see the revelation in that. When he told Martha, Martha, can you believe this? She said, yeah, Lord, I believe that the day is going to come when, you know, all God's children is going to get up and they're going to do this. So Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
Now, I know some of y'all probably can't even understood what I just said, but here's what I'm saying. Jesus became the resurrection. He became the Sabbath because he became Lord of Sabbath. He was the master of Sabbath. And then furthermore, when you think about how people celebrate that, it's kind of tricky because much more than just the Good Friday, Easter, Sunday tradition, remember, all of that stuff collapsed. So if Christ was really in the grave for 72 hours, start late Wednesday afternoon and end in late Sunday afternoon, instead of the tradition that is taught 36 hours between late Friday afternoon and early Sunday morning. So the biggest single reason for the unscriptural tradition, you can find it in Mark 7:7. And we'll read that. We got the time. We'll read that. But I'm just making a point about how Satan can trick people's minds. Have you worshiping God and honoring God, acknowledging God, resting? And God never told us to go to a building and rest. He never told us that, brother and sister. That's Satan lies. That's the day you acknowledge the thing that the Lord did. But he ain't told you to go up in no building. But in Mark 7:7.
It reads, how be it vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Amen.
Yeah, see, a lot of stuff, church people, I'm just going to go and say it like it is. Church people teach people to do stuff that's not even scripture. That's all I'm trying to tell y'all about the gospel the other day. The gospel Jesus taught, it's not the same gospel that people teach today. Today, people are taught to repent for their sins. And that's not mm-hmm. what Jesus taught, man. What Jesus taught was the gospel of the kingdom of God. And not to focus on him, even Jesus. We wasn't to focus on him, but we were to focus on the kingdom of God. Now, I know some people, they think, oh, that man now losing. No, you just need to go and do your homework and watch. Here's what you're going to come up with. God's kingdom or God's government was going to be directed by the Holy Ghost and going to be controlled by the Holy Ghost, because Jesus told you to come out of the world, be in the world, but don't be of the world. Well, then if you're not going to be of the world, what are you going to be of? Well, when you know what the kingdom of God is, which is in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That wasn't going to control you. It's the Holy Ghost, not the world system. So Satan just tried to disrupt God's family in a lot of ways. I was using the thing about the commandment the Sabbath day, because that's universal with people. Oh, they care more about the day than they do Christ. That's what I'm trying to get you to see, because Satan have confused people, because he's not really confused. He knows, but that's part of his job, is to deceive people, and he'll never let you know who he is. See, unless you get into scripture, you won't even know that Satan and put a lot of this stuff in the church. And then people reference to it, and Satan got them going, because they said, well, you know, that's the Lord's day. That's the Lord's day. And people, I can't work on the Lord's day. I mean, all kind of foolishness. And Sunday ain't no Lord's day. Ain't no Lord's day. That ain't scripture.
All right.
That is not scripture. But see, we've been doing this stuff for so many hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years until we accept it and never seek for the truth. And all I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's time that we start seeking for truth now. So when I tell you that Satan, is the low one, you won't see it unless you set it in the scripture. When I tell you Satan is, he likes to slander. He likes to slander us to God. He likes to go and accuse us before God. Oh, this, because that's what Satan do. Well, now you take that same spirit and go in some of these traditional churches. That's how they do. They accuse us of being this and being that when we're not sin. We're the very righteousness of God.
All right. Amen.
We're not condemned. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, therefore now is no condemnation. But Satan wants you to live up under that concept that you're condemned. So every time you go up in there in a building on Sunday, Saturday, even they do it on the Sabbath, they go there. And then the thing that you're going to have to deal with is them making you feel so bad. Matter of fact, you feel worse when you get in there than when you came, because they're going to show you how bad you are. And now you need to repent. Repent from what? And you don't have to repent like they want you to repent. Now, here's what Jesus taught, if you really want to know, because he's greater. He just taught us to stop being of the world, but be of Christ, be of the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel. He told us. Now, I mean, I got paper for you now. I got paper. All you have to do is go to Mark 1:15. I think I better do that, because I ain't put that stuff out there and y'all not know where it's at, or I don't know where I'm coming from. This is the first record, recorded record or recorded, whatever you want to call it, of Christ about the gospel. So in Mark 1:15, what'd that read, Pastor? How'd that read?
It says, and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe. Amen.
He never told them to repent from sin. Well, what are you going to repent from? From their tradition? From the way they were doing things? But sin, mm-hmm. Christ was going to take care of the sin issue.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, but what is the real gospel? Is there more than one gospel? I ask you now. Those who will believe the true Christian are told they must believe the gospel. Listen, brothers and sisters, when you read that 14th verse, well, I'm going to show you. In the 14th verse, because this is what Jesus did. He went around preaching. Well, Pastor, read it. You can read it.
Okay, the 14th verse. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen.
Now, what kind of gospel was he preaching? Right there, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, telling folks to repent. And that means that what you were doing, turn and go and do a different thing, which mm-hmm. happens to be trusting the kingdom gospel. The Bible says that Jesus went preaching. And matter of fact, John asked his disciples, heard and said, there's a man out here preaching repentance like you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, go check him out. So he came back. He said, Jesus said, here's what you do. I mean, John told him, said, here's what you do. Check him out and come back and give me a report. So when they asked Jesus what was going on with this gospel he was preaching, he said, well, just go tell John the blind see, the poor have the gospel, where the lame walk, the blind see, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. He went and told John. John said, that's the Christ. That's the one right there, because that's what he does. He don't mm-hmm. allow people to hope. See, that had nothing to do with what people preach the gospel today. They think everybody can sin. They don't realize Christ already died for the sin. So we don't have a sin problem. We have a receiving problem. We have a professing uh-huh. problem. We have other mm-hmm. issues that have nothing to do with what they call sin.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Jesus, the Bible says God made Jesus to be your sin. So why you got to preach about sin? No, we need to be teaching people about righteousness. Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God. That's what righteousness is, without sense of condemnation. If you want to know what righteousness really is, it is the ability to stand in the presence of God without condemnation. And Satan would just love to say, oh, I'm this, I'm that. No, that's why it's important that whoever you are and whatever you're doing, let it be done in Christ. But anyway, hopefully tomorrow we'll talk about Satan is the God of this world. He's the prince of this world. And once you see all the stuff that he does and you'll stop blaming God, to know that he's the prince of the power of the air, meaning he does this weather stuff. He calls the tornadoes. He calls hurricanes. At one time, Adam was over the weather. He had power to be over that. But Satan is trying his best to get people to think that God doing this. So he said, I'm going to exalt my kingdom above God's kingdom. That way y'all think it's God doing this stuff. That's how Satan wants us to believe. Because he's a deceiver. He always want to hide.
Yes,
amen. Probably talk about him being an angel of light. That's what I really want to talk about, because that's what he does. He personify himself. He make you think that he's like Christ. And a lot of stuff he does, if you are not careful, you'll think, oh, that's God. You attribute stuff to God, and it's not. That's Satan tricking you. So you'll stay at that same level of thinking. Mm-hmm. So you're never going to find out the real truth about him. Mm-hmm. So you don't expose him.
Say that. See,
Once he get exposed, he take off. Kind of remind me, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. Kind of remind me of roaches. You know, once that light hit that room, that dark room, them roaches take off. But that's how Satan and his imps does. They take off. They go boogity, boogity, boogity. Some of y'all probably never seen roaches. But anyway, that's for somebody who been around, did some stuff, seen some things. But anyway, we'll get in that tomorrow. But if anybody had any questions or any comments or share anything, we can still take a few questions or comments. Anybody, just press one. And Evangelist Marilyn, yesterday when she said the definition, brothers and sisters, I want y'all to know, sometimes you have to get to the root word so you'll be able to understand like the feminine and stuff like that. So you'll be able to say, oh, that's what that means. So you have a better idea. So you can get a better or accurate meaning of the words, especially when you start talking about the different scriptures, where the word great means. Folks don't want to think Satan is great. Well, you know, God is greater. We all know that. But you need to know what Satan does in his greatness.
All right.
Did you have anything, Pastor, before we dismiss?
Just how Satan had tempted Jesus in the wilderness. I think that we had, you had mentioned that too earlier this week, but also in the 13th verse from Mark 1 and verse 13, it says, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. And the angels ministered unto him because he had not given in to Satan. You know, even though he was tempted, he didn't give in. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Okay, amen. We will see you all tomorrow for the word at noon. Meanwhile, y'all stay blessed.